always seems to get involved, doesn't he?
I'm telling you, too many coconuts have hit him right on top of the skull.
Well, I think Anthony will be a great acquisition. He can do it all.
Avery, whose show is this?
Now, it's possible. No, it's not possible. Probably not. But it would be hilarious if LeBron, like, all right, saw over there in Cleveland what roster they have, looked over there in Golden State at the roster that they have, checked out Miami, checked out Denver and Minnesota, and then, like, in canvassing the league about what some of those options would be and what that would entail, looks back at the Lakers roster and is like, they need a power forward. You know, Bronny is still sitting right there. It would be like, I don't know. I don't honestly have any belief that this could possibly happen. I truly don't think that LeBron would come back to the Lakers after all of this and the big to-do that he and Clutch made over his departure. But it's also like, this as a basketball situation is super interesting. And if he wants to compete for championships and if he wants to, you know, end his career in a serious situation, the Lakers finally got serious. You know, they finally invested in their future and they finally invested in the center position and they finally invested in some of these things that modern organizations need. And for the, if you're LeBron and the Lakers had just kind of rode out the string on your extended prime, leaving now after all of it feels a little counterproductive, you know, even though the Lakers have made it fairly clear that they, you know, how they feel about LeBron and how ready they were to move on. But at the same time, it's like, if I'm LeBron and I did everything that I did over the years to continue to, you know, keep this team in the relevance that I have, and then they are finally turning a corner and they are finally taking championship contention seriously, that would be something I would be interested in participating in. Same time, though, I think, you know, through Baxter Holmes's reporting and through some of the stuff that I have heard, both sides between the Lakers and LeBron James were ready to move on from each other. It's a bummer. I'm like legitimately bummed out from a basketball standpoint and also like from a human standpoint. This guy who was meant as much to the Lakers as he has for almost a decade is now at a point or arrived eventually at a point where he just was ready to be done with the Buss family and Rob Pelinka. And, you know, I think that's a bit of a bummer. And I think it's also a pretty big bummer that Jeannie Buss and Rob Pelinka feel the way about LeBron and Clutch that they do. You know, you saw that pettiness that was reported about that entire situation there. And I think it was very prescient and true. And it's a whole bunch of information that I have since confirmed. Not that Baxter Holmes needs my confirmation, but it's a bummer, man. And whatever decision LeBron makes, I think he wants to be as close to championship competition as he can be, while also ending his career in a situation that befits his ending his career there. And that's why, like, Minnesota, San Antonio, situations like that, I think we can just kind of waft those away like gnats in the summer and really kind of focus on Golden State. We can focus on Cleveland. We can focus on Miami. It's going to come down to one of those three situations. And LeBron deserves to end his career however he chooses to end it. I just think it's a bummer that the Lakers aren't figuring into that conversation in large part because of how petty Jeannie and Rob had become with LeBron and with Clutch and with his entire camp. All right. The next question here comes from BG the Kid, who writes, is Peyton Watson an option? Nope. I'm sorry to pop bubbles here, but the Lakers don't have the spending ability to make an offer to Peyton Watson that Denver wouldn't be absolutely thrilled to match, right? Like, you, in all likelihood, Peyton Watson is going to sign for something in like the low 20s, I would imagine. The Lakers at most can offer something in the high teens. And if the Lakers made that offer, Denver would be like, yes, yeah, that sounds great. Can I honestly don't even think Peyton Watson would take that offer because it would be so low that that Denver would immediately match it. And the Lakers, you know, would have just tied up their money for however long that they tied it up. So I don't think Peyton Watson is happening. There was a report over the weekend that I found interesting that apparently the Nuggets potentially in response to Jokic saying, I'm not going to sign this extension, are now saying, well, maybe we'll pay the luxury tax. It's funny how that works, right? It, like, going into the summer, it was like, absolutely not. Not paying the luxury tax under any circumstances whatsoever. And Jokic is like, all right, fine, fuck you. I'm out of here after this contract. And he's like, and now the Cronkies are like, okay, we'll consider paying the luxury tax. And that's where things stand there. So it's a possibility that Denver might retain Peyton Watson, keep Christian Brown, keep Aaron Gordon, keep Cam Johnson, and actually, you know, operate like a serious organization going into next year. It's what I'm hoping for, like the basketball fan. I think when you have a player as great as Jokic is, there's a responsibility to employing him. And you, like the Cronkies have a responsibility to pay the luxury tax while you have a Nikola Jokic. And I'm happy that maybe things might be heading in that direction. But yeah, for the Lakers, their chances of Peyton Watson were always very thin. They signed their one restricted free agent this summer, the one that they really, really wanted, the one that they've wanted, frankly, for years. And now it's a matter of filling out the roster around Luka, around Austin, and around the restricted free agent that they actually were able to acquire. Let's see. Next question here comes from, ooh, man, this is a fun question. Edgar P. writes, who was more petty, Genie or LeBron? I could get myself into some trouble with this question. Who was more petty? I think Genie. It was more petty. And I said this to Pete back as it was happening, but I thought Genie told us a lot about who she is as a human being when Jerry West died and it took the Lakers hours to acknowledge it. And when they finally acknowledged it, it was with like a single graphic that was not at all befitting of losing an icon like Jerry West. And when that went down, to me, Genie was signaling to everybody who was paying any attention whatsoever, this is who I am. And I said this to Pete. I said this on the show that he and I recorded after Jerry had passed. I said, I think Genie showed us her true colors with all of that. And when Baxter Holmes reported how petty she and the Rambi and Rob and Tim Harris were with LeBron, it was like, that lines up pretty consistently with how she handled Jerry West passing. And I think it's also, you know, like if you are somebody that Jeannie considers a friend or family or an extended family member, whatever, you are good for life. But the moment that you don't like live up to her expectations of loyalty, you know, you don't get to come back. And I think we've seen it with Pat Riley. They built him a statue, all that stuff. He showed interest in the Lakers gig after LeBron took off, and she did not, you know, meet that interest. Whereas like with Rob Pelinka, he has been loyal. He has been nothing but loyal, incredibly loyal. And she has met that loyalty with a full commitment, full throated support in every instance. Anytime Rob Pelinka's seat starts warming up a little bit, and you know, it just kind of is what it is. But with LeBron, as soon as that Russell Westbrook trade happened, it was very, very clear that that relationship had fractured, and you know, that relationship has only further eroded ever since. And what I've heard from you know, people who worked there was that, you know, anytime LeBron did something that Jeannie didn't necessarily love, she would say to people that she trusts in that inner circle, Kobe would have never done that, you know. And I think LeBron, when he signed with the Lakers originally, was always going to chase Kobe's ghosts. And then Kobe literally died. And LeBron had to chase those ghosts even more with Lakers fans. And then that sentiment seeped into the actual Lakers organization at the highest levels. And, you know, it it's frustrating. It was like really annoying to hear about it over the years. And we're going to start getting more and more and more word about like the extent to which that became the reality, especially after LeBron signs somewhere. But if you guys, you know, want a pretty clear view of that relationship between LeBron and the Lakers towards the end, that Baxter Holmes piece about that relationship, about that pettiness, or which covered that pettiness, I think is, it, you know, 100%. Correct. It is 100% how Jeannie and Rob felt about LeBron by the end, and their split and the way that it went down this summer, where you have Brian Windhorst saying that like there was never an offer made and there was basically zero communication with LeBron. Like, gonna go ahead and say that that was pretty accurate. And accurate and frustrating. That's what it was. All right. The next question. Oh, yep. You're right, Bashir. Derek Jones Jr. is a free agent next offseason. Does make me wonder if he can maybe be got by a trade. We'll see. But yeah, here we are. Uni LOL writes, didn't Wes talk a lot of crap on the Lakers? He did. I'm not, this is the thing about like pettiness, you know, it's almost never one-sided. It's almost never like just one half of a relationship that is breaking down that eventually, like, you know, eventually erodes completely. Or, you know, if a bridge is burnt and pissed on, it's usually pissed on by two sides. And that is what happened with Jerry West, where he was made uncomfortable by Jeannie Buss and Phil Jackson's relationship. And that was kind of the starting point of that friction. and it got worse and worse and worse and worse. And eventually, you know, you saw Jeannie do such petty things as like literally like pulling the wet Jerry West. By the time he had died, his family didn't have tickets any longer to Lakers games. Think about how fucking crazy that is. That Jerry West, the logo of the NBA, in my opinion, the most important figure in Lakers history, other than Dr. Buss, did not have, or his family didn't have, season tickets by the time he had finally died. You know, listen to the, there's an interview on this channel that Ryan West and I did together, you know, kind of outlining some of that pettiness and how, like, the documentary about Jerry West puts it pretty clear how things went down there. And it's a bummer how it went down. West was a key figure with the Lakers. He was also incredibly opinionated, and he did not suffer any fools. And the Lakers right now as an organization is still chock full with fools. Like, you know, the Rambai is still there. Rob is still there. And yeah, they have made, you know, their decisions for this offseason. But they made their decision on LeBron before the offseason even started. And I think it's going to cost them. You know, I think had they handled that relationship better, you would be looking at a situation here between LeBron and the Lakers that would be a lot more productive at the very end of this relationship than it has been to this point. And you know, that pettiness is a disease, honestly. And I think Jeannie suffers from it. Bloodhound Lil Jeff, Michael writing, you piss on bridges, where's your manners? Dude, when I was a kid and we had enough to drink, we pissed on all kinds of stuff. Like, that's just how that went. But no, the point was that, like, if a bridge is burnt and eventually pissed on, both parties usually are partaking in that exercise. And I think there were moments that LeBron was petty at the end of this relationship. There were moments that Jeannie was petty at the end of that relationship. And I think both parties were ready to move on from each other. But I think both parties still would benefit from extending that relationship. And it's not going to happen. And it's because of that pettiness. And it's one of those things that, like, you're going to, you know, they're going to, that relationship is going to end one way or another, or has ended already. And you know, as we found out literally with Jerry West, you know, this life is a lot shorter than we think it is. And I was legitimately sad when Jerry West died, that he and the Lakers never worked out their relationship with each other. And now you can't, you know, now they can't work that relationship out with Jerry West. And, you know, it would be nice to see LeBron and the Lakers work out this relationship, you know, in some way, shape, or form before it's too late. All right, I'm going to go ahead and pop off here. I got dinner to cook, a Mexico match to prep for. I hope you guys had a very safe and sound and fun holiday weekend. The way that this week is going to play out, I have some guests lined up for this week. I have some guest appearances lined up and other shows lined up for this week. We await news on the Jonathan Kuminga, Rui Hachimura internal debate that the Lakers are immersed in right now. And whenever we get any clarity on that front, I will pop on here and break it down live for you guys here in this here lounge. And yeah, until the next time you guys hear from me, which is going to be tomorrow, have a great rest of your holiday weekend. Make somebody else's, and I'll talk to you guys in a bit.